In the Gita, in the 6th chapter, it says, that yogi stays forever in me, who anchored in divine unity, whatever his mode of existence, realizes me as pervading all beings. Whatever his mode of existence, you know, whatever the outer role. In the next verse it says, O Arjuna, the best type of yogi is he who feels for others, whether in grief or pleasure, even as he feels for himself. And the Master wrote about this passage, the yogi who is one with the Father is simultaneously conscious of the smallest and the greatest happenings in the universe. Can you imagine that? One that is one with God is simultaneously conscious of the smallest and biggest happenings, anything, everything, in the whole universe. Beyond human conception. And so he said, a devotee who perceives God in all beings feels naturally as his own the pleasures and pains of other beings. He wishes evil to none, but tries to do good to all. The accomplished yogi is conscious of God alone. When he seemingly identifies himself with his body and outward works, he appears like an ordinary mortal. But within himself, he ever retains the consciousness of the ever-blessed Lord. That's why sometimes it's very difficult to recognize such a great soul. If you read the Bible, very few recognize the stature of Jesus. It was the same thing with the Master. Many saw him. Very few recognized him as what he was. Because he seemingly identifies himself with his body and with his outer robe, he appears like an ordinary mortal. A person has to be purified. So evolution has to be purified in order to indeed recognize such a one. And Dayamata told us that shortly before the Master left, he said to her, much later, when I'm gone, people will know what I am. And Dayamata commented on that and she said, mind you, he did not say who I was, but what I am. Meaning that consciousness is eternal. That's one with God. When he talks about this, about he feels for others, I remember one time when the Master was going out to the desert and the other devotees, most of them were waiting outside near his car, and I was walking with the Master and from the elevator in the basement of the administration building to the door. And then a lady came, a devotee, and poured out her problems tearfully, all emotionally, to the Master. And I, because I was with him, I couldn't help but, you know, being there and hearing it. And as she was crying and so on, I thought, you know, what she is going through is really not very much. You know, it just seemed to be just a little thing. But the Master had an entirely different attitude. He listened to that woman as if it were, you know, the most important thing in the whole world. Utter sympathy, just like a mother that feels for and feels with a child. And consoled her, and when she was gone, he looked at me and he said, you know, I live the lives of all of you. And he said, I live both roles, the human and the divine, and sometimes it's difficult to keep them apart. That is the Guru. He feels. He feels for us, just like a mother, more so. Then going on with that commentary, the yogi who is free even while feeling the pleasures and pains of his body is one who can retain God consciousness, no matter what the body is going through. Further, he feels the pleasures and pains of others. Yet beyond all experiences of duality, he realizes the cosmic blessedness of God, ever transcendentally existent. Such a yogi tries to help others to realize God and to rise above the alternations of pain and pleasure, born of body identification. In other words, when the master was here, he functioned on all levels. It was almost towards the end of his life. Not the very end, he was physically all right then, but there was a period when he was working out heavy karma for many devotees. And one time I was upstairs in his quarters and I, with another monk, lifted him. And as we did so, he groaned with pain. And at the same time, I felt such joy I could hardly stand it inside. And I thought, he is suffering so much and I am going almost out of my mind with joy, you know. And I felt very bad, outwardly speaking, because I felt so good, you know. I thought, if I only could take a little bit of his burden. Can you imagine me, of his burden that he took off? And then he looked at me and smiled and he said, "Don't worry, your share will come." But then later on, when I was alone, I thought it over and I thought, how is it possible that I felt such joy when he was in agony? And then I thought, he just wanted to show to me. Physically, yes. Inside, untouched. Bliss of God. And I, perhaps because of my sympathy, had tuned in to a higher level of his being. And I felt as much or more than I could take at that time of the bliss which he is.